Going through the car wash this week, we call out unsportsmanlike behavior.
You're a player. You've seen what's been happening with Makola, and you still go do this.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
And he was so far away from the action. Like he
ran. He ran from the right wing.
Yeah. We sell Sean some Scopo.
Sheep's head.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's good.
What?
It's nice.
Good. It's like soft meat.
Yeah, but yeah. In a gampa there.
I think the only reason why it's scary to most white people is because it comes as a head. The
I
head
think
on your plate.
All white people.
And we discover Deco's weakness.
Can you not swim?
No, I can't swim.
We gotta teach Deco how to swim.
I swim to survive, not just headstroke, what, be fancy. No, I swim to survive.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hlangana Khona.
Good day and welcome to the Car Wash, episode 11.
11.
Yes. And I am your host, Slu Paho, of course. I am not alone in the studio. I have Sean Roberts. Sean, how are you doing?
Thank you, sir. Magic.
You doing well? You
always,
doing well?
Always, brother.
Always fresh. Always. And we also have the general himself, Deco Modise. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Sorry, we're interrupting Deco. He's on his phone.
How's
Sorry,
your Instagram Deco. There?
How rude of us. Sorry, buddy.
Can multitask, dude. Can chew gum and walk at the same time.
All right, so we have some matches to recap.
Yes, some results. Let's quickly go over those. Maritzburg 1-0 against AmaZulu. We'll come back to that game because something stupid happened there. Stellenbosch with a very important win against Baraka.
Mm-hmm.
Black Leopards 1-1 against Chiefs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a surprise or are just Black Leopards very difficult to beat at home.
Well, I think you guys called that one, actually, both of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did we? We didn't.
Damn it.
Write it down, but I don't remember.
I remember you guys.
You would.
Well, that wasn't one of the predictions. It wasn't one of the predictions listed.
I remember you guys called it because you said if Chiefs are playing at Black Leopards, then they're going to struggle.
We'll take it.
And so, 1-1.
Yeah. That's not a bad result, I wouldn't say. Yeah. Orlando Pirates 3-1 against Highlands Park. Pirates finding some big form.
Yeah, Gabadinho still.
Oh. Highlands Park going through a bit of a slump.
Yeah.
Cape Town City Teko, big win against the Misfits.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if not to take anything away from Cape Town City, but knowing how difficult Vets is, I would have never predicted us to win that game because you know how defensively structured they are. And
do you think the win played a part? Do you think it changed things a bit?
No, I think what changed was looking at the game, the way Bidvest created those chances, but they never scored. I think that actually put us in the game. I think if Bidvest had scored first early because they had a chance within 2 minutes, if they'd scored that goal, it would have been
different
a very,
game.
Very different game.
Yeah.
But then I think second half, Cape Town City started playing better. They started applying pressure more. And you could actually see those gaps because now that's when Bidvest started, being adventurous because they wanted to win. I think this thing of them catching up on games actually sometimes becomes a disadvantage because you think that if you don't win, it becomes a problem because of, you need to catch up. I think that's what happened in second half. They started opening those gaps and Cape Town City started capitalizing on those.
Yeah. Big win. Bloem Celtic 1-1 against my favorite. Chip United. They keep on getting results, Chipper. Point here, point there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway.
They're out here, man. They're out here, guys. I'm trying to tell you. Jump on the bandwagon early. All right? They're coming.
Polokwane 1-1 against Golden Arrows and a featured match. SuperSport United 1, Mamelodi Sundowns 2. Sure. Big game. Interesting game.
Yeah.
I think the better team won, in my opinion. Zwane again on the score sheet,
top scorer for Sundowns right now.
Sure. Moreno with a hell of a finish,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what was Kekana doing on the right hand side anyway, but they're balling and what a finish.
Good cross.
It's kind of similar goals if you look at them, actually. One from the left coming in
from Langamani.
Good point in. Was it offside?
No, it wasn't because now at the time when I was watching the game I thought okay it's offside, but then again Ace Ngobo explained it on Monday with his tactical what. So apparently it's offside. Yeah. But looking at the game though, what was very interesting was because Mokwena wasn't there.
Mm.
And then you look at the diamond shape that they were trying to play in the midfield, where with Ntlapu regularly plays as a right back from their team.
Mm.
He played in the midfield. Now, but he wasn't playing like up there in the midfield. He was playing a Dean Firmino's role. So yeah. Dean Firmino had to play different. Mm. So now you're asking Dean Firmino to do stuff that he normally doesn't do.
Go forward.
He doesn't have the qualities of
that
qualities. And then it became different. And then I think that's when Mamelodi Sundowns started finding joy, because they could realize that, you know what, they're not as strong as they were in the first game of the league when they had, you know, Mbule, Mukwena, and Dean Firmino doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, second half, they became better when they made those subs, because now Dean Firmino went back to his original position. Mm. But then again, the problem is when you know that, you know, it just that I think the obsession with SuperSport on that day was to close down the midfield, you know, to overload in the midfield, and then they end up leaving the guys on the side to put the cross in. Mm. So now you need to decide what you want to do. If you do that, and then your right back and your left back, they need to take whoever that comes in, because Zwane is not going to go down the line and cross the ball. Mm. So therefore, you know that Langerman is going to come.
Sure. Yeah.
You know. So why are you allowing Langerman to put those crosses?
Correct. In? He had so much freedom down that left flank.
The whole game. I mean, it was insane to see that. Yeah. And knowing that Kaitane Tembo does his homework, and to see them play the way that they play that day, it was shocking, because I know SuperSport is a very difficult team to beat because of how structured they are, especially this season.
Yeah.
But for them to actually allow Sundowns to do that, maybe they were obsessed with, like, you know what, Temazwan is back, let's not allow them to play in the midfield. But then again, if you do that, add an extra player in the midfield, your fullbacks need to take whoever that comes on their side.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Very bizarre, hey?
And yeah, it was.
Krubler was isolated for the first 45 minutes.
It was
no service.
Yeah.
You know, I felt Trezeguet, especially first half, was far too far away from him.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest problem SuperSport had, I think.
Yeah.
And quick question. Dean Firmino's penalty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How was Jali not sent off? If that was given a penalty, which it was, why was there... I don't even know if it was a yellow card. But why was he not sent off?
He was last man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so that it has to be an immediate red if you're going to give it.
And no one spoke about it.
Yeah, we never.
Commentators never brought it up.
Yeah.
You idiots in the studio didn't bring it up.
Thank you, Sean. I'll take it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, actually, you're right. But also it shows that also with when Mukwena is not there, because Mukwena normally is not a guy that actually people speak about, it, especially in SuperSport form or SuperSport system. When he's not there, because he's the one that actually get closer to the strikers and have those shots outside the box.
Yeah.
Now you have Mbule, who enjoys being on the ball, but he hardly creates any chances for SuperSport to score. With his talent, it becomes a problem, because now when you're playing in that position, we look at the stats. End of the season, you have to look at the stats. Those are the numbers.
Yeah.
We look at, okay, Chief, how many games did you play? I played 28 games, playing as an attacking midfielder. How many chances have you created? Mm. Goal scoring chances for a team. So now, when I think it needs to be known to players that when you play certain positions, you must understand your role. You're nice on the ball, yes, but you need to be productive as well.
Correct. Yeah. There's a bigger picture.
Yeah. You know, there's a bigger picture because of you also, so that when you have those kind of stats every season, it forces you to actually up your game next season, because you want to beat the stats that you had.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's just that for me, as much as I love Mbule, I love and I enjoy seeing him play, but I think he can do more.
Yeah.
You know, he has got more. And that's why Mukwena is always shiny, because Mukwena does more. He works hard, he defends, but he goes up and down. Mm. He always creates chances and he scores.
Yeah.
So I think Mbule is on that level where he needs to up his game. We can't always...
So you think he's feeling restricted in terms of their game plan?
I doubt. Okay. I highly doubt it. I think also with the coach as well, I think he raised it at some point. He said, I think Mbule needs to win us games.
Mm.
With that talent, if I'm a coach, I'll be sitting on his ass. I'm like, dude, you need to win us games.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've
got
your Gabuza, you've got Khobla, people that are actually working their socks off.
Mm.
So there's no way that you cannot win us games.
Mm.
Just give us that pass. Khobla will finish.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
On the other side, for Sundowns, I realized, and I had the thought watching the match, that if Sundowns had one of the league's top five strikers, they would be impossible to defend. Because there was a couple times, I think it was Cirino, tried these chips over the back of the defense, but the striker just didn't chase it down. And I just had the thought, like, can you imagine if somebody was getting in behind, if it was Gabardinho?
Yeah, and then Pizzo went into the paper this week actually saying he needs an out-and-out finisher.
Yeah. And that time you've got Pagat there, who's got so much speed, but dude, there's no results.
Yeah.
It becomes a problem. I think also Sundowns, what also they find it very disappointing is signing a player that you see doing so many things somewhere, and then when he gets into the team, you start falling into the trap of trying to be Zwane, Villa, Serena. Yeah. We all have different qualities.
Mm.
I think if I was a striker at Sundowns, I'd be looking at, okay, I'm surrounded by so many quality players. All I need to do, I want to be a top goal scorer this season. I don't care even if
stick
I
touch to my game plan.
Yeah.
This is the reason they signed me. Exactly. It's to do this job.
It's to do this job.
Around with other shit, yeah.
Exactly. I think that's where Pito is, because he feels like we're creating so many chances, but we don't have somebody that actually enjoys scoring.
So who's gonna get? I keep on saying Krobler, you keep on saying no.
Nah.
Yeah, they missed
it. For me, if I see career wise, mm-hmm. it'll be great for Krobler because now he's fighting for honors, blah blah blah. Mm. Nice stuff. But in terms of play, it's gonna be very difficult for Krobler because he's not a speedy player. They're looking for somebody that can go beyond the striker, beyond the defenders, and with speed and be able to finish. Because most of the time they draw the opponents to try and play high line so that they can have your thumb pose chipping all those balls.
Mm.
For Krobler, it's gonna be the same situation as Brocky. They're gonna be expecting to play different. Whereas Super Sport, Krobler plays a certain way. More or less like Brocky, what he was doing, you know, everything goes through Krobler. Now at Sundowns, you must understand, it goes through everybody before you.
Mm.
So now you get Krobler needs to be patient and patient. When that ball comes through, is he mentally strong to be able to finish the ball with 20 minutes without touching the ball?
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? So you, that's why it, for me, when Pito says he wants to sign Musona, it makes so much sense. Because now you know that Musona will forever give you that.
Mm. Yeah.
It's very aggressive in that. But now if you look at also, if he doesn't get him, who else? You know, but if Krobler goes there, you need to understand he needs to be able to adjust to playing different. He needs to be able to track down.
He's got
to
back himself, I guess.
To chase, to press.
Yeah.
That's what is needed at Sundowns.
Absolutely.
Another team that needs a striker right now, Manchester United. they struggled. They struggled against Liverpool. I mean, we can chat about the match officiating, but no Rashford. For the foreseeable future, he said, I think he tweeted out that he's hoping to be back before the end of the season, which means that it's lengthy.
So they played Rashford against Wolves with a stress fracture in his back, in his spine.
Yeah.
He's come out of that game with two stress fractures and a piece of bone hanging from his ankle.
Yeah.
So he's out for 3 months.
Yeah, he's out for 3 months.
And so that tells you something. If Solskjaer is so desperate to play Rashford, that there is no depth.
Yeah, there's no depth, yeah.
There's no trust.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
And we saw that against Liverpool. Oh, crap. United. Well, I wouldn't say crap. I think Liverpool's midfield were unbelievable the first 70 minutes. They got very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have gone either way the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
For sure.
And to be fair, it is Anfield. You know, one of the records that I read is they haven't lost at home in the league at Anfield since April 2017.
Mm.
So
It's crazy. I mean, a crazy stat. Liverpool have taken 91 points from the last 93 available to them in the Premier League.
No,
it's at this point, I would like to unveil something.
Oh, Simon came through with the kiss.
Simone! Does it come in men's? Lovely.
Is that the third kit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's legitimately one of the most
beautiful kits out there.
That's cool, eh?
It's annoying. Liverpool is annoying.
They like, say it's so good.
Yeah.
They have got the complete team. They've got the best defender in the world.
Yeah.
They've got the best goalkeeper in the world, in my opinion. They've got an ultra-compatible front three.
Yeah.
Alisson might have more assists than some United midfielders.
And of course, they got Jurgen Klopp. I mean, it's just...
Of course.
But if we look at the goals, we spoke about it just before, Tseko, Van Dijk's first goal.
Yeah.
You've got this kid... What's his name? Brandon Williams. He's 5'6". He weighs 63 kilograms. You've got Fred, who's 5'8" and 62 kilograms, picking up Van Dijk, who's 6'7".
Yeah.
The best defender in the world.
Yeah.
And he's 92 kilograms.
Mm.
What is going on?
Yeah.
It takes Solskjaer 45 minutes to realize to put Matic on Van Dijk.
Yeah. Mm.
It's
But then you had the whole week to prepare for that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
But I think also even after that goal, it's just that with the way Liverpool is playing, like they understand each other without even saying anything. Mm. You know, I think what Klopp has done with that team, people mustn't think that he has achieved that in one season. You know, it's been hard work. And you can see the consistency that he has also within the team. And he's got donkeys at the back, like you said. You know, there's so many influential players at the back. You've got your right back and your left back that are amongst the world 11, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
And within the midfield as well, I think if you stand a chance of winning the game against Liverpool, you need to dominate the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not dominating the midfield, then you have a problem because you forever find Sané, Mane, and
Firmino,
you know, having those balls, and they will kill you because of they're very, very talented.
Yeah. Someone pointed out that they think that, what's it? I think it's Gini Wijnaldum is the most underrated midfielder in the world. He had a worldie of a game.
His work rate is just next level.
Yeah.
Oh, but if you look at things as a whole, how the power has truly shifted now.
Yep.
From United, which when they were the big dogs past four years ago, whatever. And now it's all Liverpool.
Yeah.
Since Ed Woodward, who's the chief executive of United, came in 7 years ago, he has spent £850 million. That's 15 billion rand. The squad of United has kids in there with no major players. So Teko, my question to you is, do you blame Pogba for wanting to leave?
I do to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you come into a team with so much expectations from you. And you're a player that the team actually wants to build a team around you. And you know your responsibilities, you know, you're a leader. And we're looking at that, especially when things are not going well. But also it doesn't help to be surrounded by not so good players as well. So even if you are a good player, for you to be great, you need to be surrounded by good players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Pogba had that. You know, and also with the inconsistency with the coaches, inconsistency in the lineups as well. So that also plays a big part. And I think the biggest problem also with the coaches that go to Man U is they want to emulate what Sir Alex Ferguson did instead of trying their own thing. Because Sir Alex Ferguson, what he achieved from Man U, it started way... Yeah. Also, he didn't achieve for like again. 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Then he started winning games. So with Solskjaer, I think what he could have done was, okay, let me sign 22, 23, or 24, 25, and actually start speaking that, guys, I'm building a team for the future. But he never said that. So now he wants us to assume that he's building a team for the future.
Does he have, at that level, do you have 4 or 5 years like to build a team for the future?
But that's the thing. Like you've been called from a development side. You're coaching there. So therefore, you as a coach that comes from there, your space is development. You know, because you've been there. So now when you come into the first team, you have that kind of conversation with the shareholders. Like, guys, listen, we've got Matic, you've got this. Look at the age group.
Yeah.
And we're competing against this and this and this.
Yeah.
So therefore, our chances are 3 years down the line. So what we need to do, let's clean up.
Yeah.
You clean up your Sanchez, you clean. Ashley Young, clean. There's guys that are there, my friend. You want them to walk with a stick. They've been there for long. Clean up. And then bring in the new guns. 3 years down the line, you've got a solid team.
Yeah.
And don't sign just because the player is talented. Sign the player that you know is going to fit in your system.
Yeah.
So now with Man U, they were signing players because he's talented. Signing Sanchez, where is he going to play?
Yeah.
Then the next thing you say, if you don't get what you want from Sanji, you're like, what a waste. My friend, you wasted so much money because you want to succeed right now.
Yeah,
but also you have your Man City that never won. When Pep got there, he struggled. And then the second season, he dominated. That's the thing. Klopp never won. He started dominating the second season. Now he's amazing.
Yeah.
So you need to understand, even if with Spurs right now, if they expecting success right now with
Mourinho,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So then you need time. So with Manchester United, I understand the pressure because you're a big team, you're a big club, you're expected to win. But you must understand that time when Alex Ferguson had his team, he had his team for like 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
The same players. He just had one per season. So when a team starts signing 4 or 5 a season, you must know there's no clue. There's
dynamic change automatically.
Exactly.
They need a financial advisor over there because like I keep seeing the wage bill on Twitter and their wage bill is insane. Players who are just like not performing on 180,000 a week and you start going then the pressure is even harder to face because it's Old Trafford, a stadium full of fans, knowing that you're on 200,000 a week and you haven't scored in 10 games.
It's mad, eh?
And you start to
and the bizarre thing from all of this is that the United share price continues to rise. So as a business, United's okay.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Social media engagement at an all-time high already.
Yeah,
most of people complain.
And United had lost 9 of their last 16 away games, failing to score in 8 of those games. That is insane.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
And even as a good player as well, if you get a call from United, like, dude, we want to bring you into the team. Nobody wants to play for United.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So now it becomes a problem. So where do you go? You look at your Sanchez, the young boy that plays in Bayern. Those are the players that you go and fetch. The younger ones, you come then and fetch. That's what I'm saying. In 3 years, then you become this dominant figure. But if they're going to continue signing superstars and whatnot, it's not going to happen.
No, I agree.
They're missing out. I mean, they lost Haaland to Dortmund.
Oh, he scored a hat-trick on his debut, didn't he?
Yeah.
That kid cost £16 million for Dortmund. And they, you know, he still picked Bundesliga. I rate it's a good choice, though. I think he made the right choice. Clearly, he made the right choice.
because the thing is, like, as a footballer, you watch. You know, you hear what people are saying. Like I say, nobody wants to play for United now. Nobody wants to play for United now. You know?
Nobody.
Even Drogba wants out. You know, nobody wants to play for them. And now as a team, you struggle to actually sign players because nobody wants to come there because they know the struggle that comes, the pressure that comes there. So sign players actually that wants to build a name, not sign players that already has a name because they've got nothing to prove. Sign players that wants to prove something. Yeah. Hey, go get her Vardy. Come, Vardy. Come here. How much
Kombana.
Do you want?
Pa.
Get Vardy there.
Hey, but Vardy is on form for Leicester.
But 17. Yeah, comrade, give him half of what Pogba is earning.
That's crazy, eh?
Yeah.
All right, move on, Slew Dog.
Relegation battle. Four teams are currently on 17 points in the PSL. Baroka, Black Leopards, Polokwane City, and AmaZulu. Who will go down is the question.
It's a tough one. You know, what saves Black Leopards is their home form.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We saw that on the weekend against Chiefs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's great home form, but they're just very difficult to beat away.
Yeah.
AmaZulu, what that saves them is that they've got an informed striker.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 out of their 11.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, but other than that, they're struggling, you know?
Yeah.
They've made a couple of signings, which is fine. Polokwane, Baroka. Baroka's got a new coach. So did Polokwane.
Difficult.
My guess would be Polokwane and Leopards.
Polokwane City really fell apart this season. I remember 5-6 matches in, they had the best defense in the league.
Mm.
And I don't know what happened since then. They haven't been able to stay solid at the back. And now they have one of the worst defenses in the league. So,
well, they sold their top striker, didn't they?
Which one?
Was it Rodney? Didn't the guy sign for Highlands?
He wasn't that top striker. The guy that actually won the top goal scorer is still there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's still there.
But
the one that actually scored against Arrows. But if you look at the Polokwane team, their defense, because I understand what you say, but the coach also comes out every week and says they hardly get the combination right at the back because they normally don't play with an out and out centre back because of the injuries that they've been having.
Mm.
So now that also plays a big part.
Yeah.
You know, their defensive is very, very shit.
Mm.
But now also is as a new coach, when you get into a team that is like that, it's very, very difficult to actually start, you know, being defensively solid because of now you're gonna try things in the game. That time you're in a relegation zone, you're fighting for your life. So there's no friendlies in between that you can try to assist them out. So it's very, very difficult for them. And look at them again. Who are they playing? Polokwane City? They're playing Stellies.
Mm.
So this week, all the relegation team, they're playing amongst each other. So we're going to see a little bit of a shift there at the bottom, you know, because of this 1 point.
6 point games, really,
Yeah, so those games are very, very important for them. And looking at Stellies, you know, they two games in a row, so they might make it three.
Yeah, Cape Town
City, you're only 3 points off there, huh?
Yeah. So it's very, very, very tight at the bottom. And I think,
your opinion, two to go down, who would you say?
Polokwane most definitely, and AmaZulu, I wouldn't be surprised if they're the ones.
It'll be sad. They're such a big brand, eh? But I'll go Polokwane Leopards. Baroka somehow always. Baroka's got a very young team.
Yeah.
Very bizarre team. Not much structure. Oh, it's a tough one.
Now, you know why I wouldn't want Leopards to go out? Because of what it means to the community right there. It's big. You can see, even if they're playing small teams, like, people actually come out in numbers to come and support the team.
And that stadium was recently revamped as well.
Yeah, and that creates jobs for people. It creates opportunities for people around there. So if they go out, they will never have a chance to watch Chiefs, Pirates, and Sundowns there, so it means a lot. For Polokwane City, the reason why I'm saying Polokwane is they've been in this situation for I don't know how many years.
Nothing is changing.
Come end of the season, they're not signing, they're not beefing up the team, their signings they're not actually trying to improve the game. Mm. They just said, okay, let's have 26 players. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And then you find all these coaches that keeps rotating. Now we're saying we want coaches to actually improve our players so that our standard of football can improve.
Mm.
And most of the teams are not signing the coaches that actually improve the players.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? And those are the kind of teams that have always been there. The reason why I'm saying Black Clippers is because I understand what it means.
Mm.
Of course, the same thing might be said about Polokwane City, but I mean, guys, how many seasons?
Mm.
You know, Baroka, how many seasons you keep on surviving?
It'll be interesting to revisit this in like 4 or 5 weeks and just to see where it's at.
Yeah. No, but the end of January, my friend,
We'll know.
You know, in the relegation zone, everybody's sweating there. They're like in a sauna.
Yeah.
You know, they keep wiping themselves with towels because it's tough. Up there, people are...
What did they say? 35 points, you're safe? What's the...
With low
30s, eh? It's like 35, I think.
Maybe it might even go beyond that because of how tight it is at the
back.
Or maybe it might be even lower because of the draws that we might see.
19 games, 17 points. That's anyway, let's move on. Jeez.
Unsportsmanlike behavior in the league once more. This is Wits versus
Cape Town City. Yes. I mean, that was...
It was Samich Doty.
It was Doty, right?
Yeah, it was Doty and the goalkeeper.
And
Ricardo Goss. Even Tulani was mad. Like, he looked incensed with the referee, but I don't think he touched him.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
I think it was a penalty.
Yeah, it was a penalty.
It was a penalty, yeah.
Kato City missed it anyway.
Yeah.
But it was a penalty.
But nothing's been done about this, right?
What disturbs me is the goalkeeper got a yellow card for pushing the referee. Samuel Duta never got punished, nothing.
Mm.
And he pushed the referee 3 times.
Mm.
Of course, the first time the referee wasn't looking because he was looking the other way. But the second 2 times he was looking and he never punished. So that for that moment, he lost control of the game.
Mm.
But just explain to me, you're a player. You've seen what's been happening with Makola. Mm-hmm. You've seen what's happening with KK in the past. And you still go do this. Like, are you serious?
And he was so far away from the action. Like
He ran from the right wing.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what goes through your head. And I saw, to his credit, he posted on his Instagram. He was like, there's no excuse for what I did, that sort of thing. But that's not going to save you from getting banned.
Yes, you're right, Slu. I think it will be very interesting to see what the disciplinary committee will do about it.
Mm.
And whether, it's going to be hefty punishment or it's going to be one of those as well that is 6 months and then comes to 4 games. So it'll be very interesting because I'm sure that even if they've been given 6 months, they're going to protest it. Like Makola did this and then he got this. So it's very challenging now on going forward for a disciplinary committee to actually, stay on their ground because if they don't come back and deal with these certain issues, we're going to see this continuing and continuing because the refereeing is becoming bad every week and the players are going to feel like they have the control to actually do whatever they want. So
what's up with the lack of communication with the linesman or the assistant referee? Because
I'm
sitting here wondering, okay, sure, he didn't see Samir behind him pushing.
Yeah.
But someone on the side, you see it clearly.
Maybe the fourth official saw.
The fourth official sees. You go chat to him. He says, he pushed you, red card, done.
Done,
then we can talk about a 4-match ban, we're good. But now we have to sit here and talk about why didn't the referee even red card?
Yeah. It's so bizarre.
So
anyway.
I don't understand why they're using those okie-tokies. Maybe they've got no batteries or whatever. maybe they want to look nice because they don't talk.
Tuned into the radio.
They don't talk. And they're not making things easy for themselves because, it's tiring to speak about the referees every week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's boring, actually, It should be improving. Absolutely. We shouldn't be talking about them. We need to be here speaking about, the refereeing this week was dope.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, coaches will all forever complain about maybe one decision that didn't go their way.
That's
football.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's clear as day. When everyone can see it, then it becomes a... Amazulu game, but this one was post-match, I think, like just after the match.
I spoke to a couple of players and a lot of players have no idea what it's about. So it must have been...
Unofficial.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's unofficial. I think he went to the referee and he told his referee about whatever his mom or his ancestors.
Really, eh?
Like it's Amazulu. I think it's either their staff, technical staff or something like that, but ran.
Okay.
Because the ref didn't give like 2 penalty calls to Amazulu.
So
emotions are a bit high.
Yeah.
Well, you just shouldn't do that anyway.
And we just spoke about them in the relegation battle, I'm sure.
Exactly.
When you get penalty calls that don't go
your way. I think also with the frustration as well, it builds up, because of you're looking for any small stuff that you think that, it might help you, win the game or whatever the case might be. And when you actually see, I'm not condoning what they did, but I can understand the frustration that comes with it. Like, which game are we going to win with the referees like this?
Yeah.
But also, you must understand as well that beyond that, you need to understand the bigger brand is the team. So once, as an official, you act like that, it's never good for the team.
No.
It will never be good for the team.
Yeah, they had to come out and put out some fires with that, big time.
Yeah, yeah. And then they come out and apologize, but still, dude,
Basics.
The game was finished.
Basics.
Yeah, the game. So you wonder what, they're ready to stop. They're like, okay, guys, let's go back five more minutes.
Yeah.
and then you call those penalties. Sometimes sometimes we understand that football is a game of emotions, and it's totally okay with that, because what's the point of playing the game without putting emotions in it? But sometimes you need to understand as well, you know, these people also make up mistakes that causes the teams.
Too often though.
We need to move on.
It's one of those things, because the staff isn't playing, they can't get match bans, and so the AmaZulu might get fined for this or something like that.
Official also might be suspended.
Let's see. Yeah, it's a desperate team in desperate times, and they make very bad decisions. This is what happens, I think.
It's tough. Indeed, it's indeed. Tough.
Who you got there, brother?
Speaking of tough decisions, I got Grant Kekana on the line for 10 quick fire questions. 10 quick fire is the segment where we get your favorite players on the phone and put them on the spot. Play that funky music, white boy.
Who is the funniest guy that you have played with in the PSL?
Boalefa Bule.
Who is the flashiest dresser that you have played with?
Aubrey Modiba.
And the worst dress?
That's a tough one. Onismo Basera.
How did he dress?
No, he can wear nice clothes and then just spoil it with like these wax slippers, or always just one item that's wrong.
What is the worst mistake that you've ever made in a match?
Probably scoring an own goal.
Against who was that?
Against Supersport and against Tux.
Oof. Both the teams you've played for?
Yeah, and it was against each other.
Oh, hectic. All right. And then what is your best footballing memory as a professional?
Lifting the trophies, because I think I've won the Nedbank 3 times and the MTN 2.
What is the best goal that anybody on your team has scored while you were on the pitch?
Teboho Mokoena, when he scored against Golden Arrows last season. It was 2-2 and he scored a crack of a goal with no back lift.
Ooh. And then what is currently your favorite car?
At the moment, I'd say a McLaren.
What would you say is the best South African local food?
Skopo.
And then what is your favorite holiday destination?
I'd probably say Paris.
Paris, France. Have you ever been?
No, not yet. I'll be there later.
Oh, very nice. So at least you've planned.
Let the boy live. Right.
Thank you very much, Bronte Kana, for joining me on the show. Have a good one, yeah?
Thank you, too.
Oh, he hasn't been. It's let beautiful. The boy live.
I love that we have to ask that. Yeah, Skok. Players, have you been?
Yeah.
The sheep's head.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's good.
What?
It's nice. Good. Leave us, my friend. It's nice.
Leave us? Yeah. I thought you said livers. Nah. Leave us.
No, leave us. It's
like
very
soft,
nice.
It's like soft meat, you know? It's like
it's like bright, good brains. Fat.
Yeah, even brains are dope. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the inner gum part there.
Yeah. I think the only reason why it's scary to most white people is because it comes as a head. Like they put it on, they put the head on your plate.
I think all white people. Yeah. Not most white people. But I shall give it a go, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice. You should try it out.
And we got some stuff in the CS special. For those who don't know what that is, we of course have the Soccer La Duma paper for only $4. And they have all the latest local football news, transfer business.
It's Modiba not happening to Sundance, Teko. Interesting. Anything happen?
I think it was a smart move by Supersport. You know, Aubrey is important to Supersport and he's young. And Supersport, you can see like the vision is to have these young players that will play together for a while so that they can also be a dominant fee at some point. And Stan Mathews came out and said, you know, there was discussion between the two parties, meaning the player and him to Sundowns, and they both declined the offer. And they gave him 4.5. Is it 4.5 years? Yeah, they gave him 4.5 years deal. So that's the same thing that they did with, what's the goalkeeper's name?
Ronwin, yeah.
Yeah, they gave him that. So you could see the intentions behind all that. And and also if you check the history, every time there's a good player at Supersport, always goes to Sundowns, buy them out. I think it's high time now that teams find ways out to keep their quality players so that the league can be stronger. It is nice to see Sundowns dominating. It's nice to see all the big teams dominating, but we also want to see the Leicester someday. You know, and I think Supersport once dominated when Gavin was there because they had the strong players. Of course, they played differently, but we need to see those things coming back. And I think these teams, they're allowing all these best players go very quickly. You know, just an offer bar. Let's make money out of it. And then you struggle the next season. You're forever rebuilding. Yeah. When are we going to keep our players so that we can have this league babe? This season is very interesting, but we want to see more teams fighting for the league owners instead of relegation.
Yeah, and I mean, Supersport United genuinely looks like a top 4.
Of course it is.
Like solidified. They haven't been. In the past few years, but they do this year for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And there's now this interest in Edmilson Dove. No, now that the Modibo deal didn't happen.
No, they must leave Dove alone.
Yeah.
They must leave our Dove alone.
Player, hey?
No, I mean, this season he's been the most consistent at the back. I think he played all the games. Of course, he's been shifting to from centre back to left back, but he's been the most consistent and reliable. And it's one of those things where he's not your Langerman. When he gets to Sundowns, he's not going to play like your Langerman. He's not gonna, they've got like K there. Let them use their K.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we also, like I said, with teams, we letting our good players go very quickly and very soon. And then the next thing, next season, we say you want to fight for owners with who?
Yeah.
When we sell our good players. I think it's high time that teams find ways how to keep their players. And Captain City is no different. I think they need to do that.
Yeah, good points, good points. And Mahango.
Mahango, Kappa, Kappa, Kappa.
Going crazy, yo.
The goal machine.
Yeah, they interviewed him in the newspaper over here.
He's getting interviews these days.
Getting interviews, man. When you're top scorer, people ring your
Africa,
line.
South Africa, you score one goal.
I pulled this one interesting quote that I thought was pretty cool. He said, when asked about Coach Zimbauer changing things, he said, "What happened in the first half of the season is finished. This is the second round and we need to be solid." I like that perspective of like, nah, that was first half, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're coming for the second half. And man, these past few matches, he's just been, his movement, even off the ball, the goals that he scored, he kind of suddenly looks like a complete striker. I just need to see him score a couple of headers and
he's really impressed me. And I mean, and talking about Zimbabwe and what he's brought to Pirates, do you think he's brought something different that is allowing a 15 goal a season from a striker?
I think what he brought is just, you know, the easy approach. Like, he looks like an easy guy to approach and speak to about the game. And he looks fair. Like, he rewards players that trains well. He gives them game. And I think sometimes that's what we lack in South African football, where a coach, you know, wants to be that. He doesn't want to be approached. He doesn't want to hear any input from a player. You could see with the way Pirates are playing, they're not playing way different from what they were doing, but now you can see there's more smiles on the team. You know, even Memela's playing as a 10. Like, he's so dope now. Like, I'd never figured that Memela can play as a 10. Like, it puzzles me. And I was even telling Bibo Makola the other day, I was like, dude, Memela's playing as a 10 is so good. It was like, and Bibo, you know, said, yeah, he's been good in that position. But looking at the understanding as well, you know, Mango's enjoying himself. He's always drifting to the left. He comes in with his right foot and he's very good. And his work rate has went up, maybe because of the confidence as well. So I think what Zimbabwe has done is it brought the confidence within the team and the consistency as well. You can see now even Ben Mutwari. Ben Mutwari is playing very quiet, but...
But dominating.
Exactly. Yeah. He's very quiet.
Spoke about this last week.
Yeah. I think he's brought so much balance. Also, what helps is they're playing four at the back now. So I don't understand why people are still saying Paris is playing three at the back. Hello, watch the game. They're playing four at the back. And now that brings more stability in terms of that defense, which was their problem. So they're conceding less. Of course, the average goal that they concede is 1-1 until Sundowns game. They never concede. That's the only game that they never conceded with Zimbabwe. But the rest of the games, they've been conceding 1-1, but they've been scoring more.
Sure.
So now I think if they can be consistent in conceding goals and be able to create opportunities that they create and score, I think there might be a better team next season. You know, there might be a great team next season to watch.
By the way, was that Lorch's first goal of the season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one, by the way.
Yeah.
Because when he first hit it, I was like, that had to be a mistake. But when you watch the replay,
he knew exactly what he was doing.
He was like, he checked.
Top goal. He also doesn't seem too happy, does he?
You see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. When you are labeled as a best player within the league, you must understand the pressure that comes with it. You must understand the responsibilities that come with it. And I think Lord, to a certain extent, he allowed the negativity to come through, and it also affected maybe his mood or his drive into the game. And probably maybe that goal will bring back his confidence back. And you could see also the way he was playing after he scored. You know, he started doing all these nice things that he normally does. But it's just that sometimes we forget the responsibilities that we have. Like, if you're a superstar, there's a responsibility that comes with it. If you don't want to have responsibilities as a player, then be an average player, my friend. And then nothing happens to you. Fantastic.
Cool.
Just cruise. Yeah, yeah. But you're a superstar within the team. The team is looking up to you. I'm glad that Mango's taking that responsibility. Yeah. You know, not many people come to Orlando Pirates and actually take that responsibility and lead the team.
Yeah.
And I think Lodge needs to understand that as much as there's so much negativity, it's because of the standard that you put. There was a standard that he was there, you know, the stats last season was amazing, and then people are expecting more this season. You must understand that as a footballer, you want to improve every season, and when you don't improve, you're going to get a stick. Accept that.
Yeah.
that's the standard that you put in. But then again, for you to actually be in a situation for you to understand needs to happen to you. I think I'm glad that it's happening to him at this stage of his life where he can understand it and become a better player. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's him being good. He's number 10.
Good point. And he's wearing number 3 at that time.
Yeah. Good point.
We got the Sundowns mid-season report as well.
Yeah. I'm going to pick my top 3 players so far of Sundowns. Mm-hmm. They've impressed me. And I usually go with the spine, you know. So I'm going to start with Dennis. I think he's made a couple of errors this season, but what I like about Pizzo, and I think his whole team generally, he doesn't like to change. So where other teams, if Dennis had to make a mistake being another team, he might have been dropped. Mm-hmm. He made a couple of mistakes quite consecutively at one stage.
Yeah.
Who else did I have there? I had Musa Labusa.
Yep.
At the back.
Yep.
Who I think is really coming into his own.
Mm-hmm. This season yet.
This season for sure. Last season, still trying to find himself. Didn't start regularly enough. And Andile Jali. Unbelievable.
You cannot ignore Andile these days.
Unbelievable.
Very, very difficult.
Just complete. I mean, you go back 6-7 months even, completely different player.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I would go Lebusa, Andile Jali and Temba Zwan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because Zwan's goal scoring form has been.
Yeah, and you can see how much he's been missed when he's not playing, hey?
Yeah.
You know,
talk to me, Teko. What's wrong?
No, it's just that for me is I've always spoken about Zwane highly, you know, and we never get an opportunity to speak about the player that has the most impact in the league is Zwane. Because of I know and I've played with the guy and I know what he's capable of.
He's got the most impact in the league.
He has, you know. He might not score on the day, but the distance that he covers, the work rate that he has, and the way the influence that he has on the pitch for Mamelodi Sundowns. Look, Mamelodi Sundowns got superstars, but when there's that guy that when he's on the pitch, people actually, even the players themselves that are superstars, actually believe that we stand a chance of winning the game. That's Zwane. You hardly find that in a big team. And that's what he has. And then you could see whenever he's playing, Mamelodi Sundowns plays differently, you know. And I think he's very influential within the team. And sometimes I've seen great superstars going to Mamelodi Sundowns with no impact whatsoever because of, you know, they get overshadowed by other players. Zwane doesn't. And I like that about him. Like his attitude towards the game is brilliant.
He's a good pro as well. Hey?
Yeah, and for him to see him start scoring goals, now getting responsibilities of actually taking penalties. This was a shy boy that never wanted to do so. Even when he practiced penalties, he never wanted to take one. But now to see his growth within the professional setup, you know, his confidence and knowing the responsibility that he has, it's dope. And I think, like you said, I think Dennis brings safety. You know, when Dennis is on the post, you actually guarantee that, you know what, clean sheet is guaranteed. That's what Dennis brings. You know, as a leader, he's very commanding of this box. Of course, he does mistakes, but it's just that the coach trusts him more.
Yeah.
You know, because of what he has done for the team and
sure.
whatsoever. Andile, if Andile can continue the way he does, we're going to see a great player that we normally know. And I think his attitude towards the game has changed already. You can see he's very lean, lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
And he enjoys working hard and he allows other players in the midfield to shine.
Yeah.
And yet he still shines.
Unselfish.
Exactly. And I like that attitude. And I mean, it's great to see him play like that because normally players, when they go and they come back, they struggle a little bit of which he did.
Yeah.
That's why he was having so many injuries. I think at that time he was overweight. He wasn't fit.
Mm.
Now you can see the Andile, but I just wish that he can have like maybe 5 goals per season with that performance. I think that's going to be great.
Yeah. I genuinely think he's on like a revenge mission because we'll ignore the other stuff that happened on social media, but a couple of weeks back, he jumped on Twitter.
What other stuff?
You saw the other.
I didn't say. No?
Okay, it involves his love life. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But we won't discuss that. What we'll discuss is him jumping on Twitter and hollering at all of his haters. I don't know. He kept receipts. He kept like all of the hate tweets.
Really?
And he responded to them and he was like, yeah, where's your chat now? Now that I'm back on form, which
I found
that amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Always got too much time on his hands. One of the two.
He did it like before training. And then he went on Twitter live and he was like, yeah, guys, I'll have to leave it at that. But don't take this serious. Just social media. And then he goes to training.
But actually, social media is very serious.
Yeah.
So you need to understand there's a certain part of social media that is very serious. I think
as a player, you know, nobody's guaranteed a top form all the time. Mm. And I think you need to allow fans to speak about you, not you speaking about yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that's lacking in most footballers, that we want to speak about ourselves. What else? Which is fine for confidence people, but speak it in private.
Yeah.
In public, we're going to hold the receipts as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to come out and have a shitty game and be like, dude, you know, we're going to remind you of that. I think as a footballer, you need to be humble. I think in life, you just humble yourself and do what you do. We'll give you the praise because we watch you.
Yeah.
I think that's the bottom line. That's why, look at Klompa. Klompa's been doing this for how many years?
Yeah.
10 years.
Mm.
He's very humble. He keeps his head down. He keeps working. He keeps doing his job.
Yeah.
And those, the all this other thing, nice things, they will come.
Yeah, exactly.
That. You know, I think that's what Andile needs to do. He needs to understand that you are who you are, and people forever have whatever they want to say because of the quality that you have.
And they're also jealous. A lot of jealousy out
there. Yeah. I mean, who wants to be jealous of a guy that's a nobody?
Yeah.
We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
So if you're a good player, there's other players other people that will feel like you're not doing as well because of the praises that are coming through. So you need to understand you can't satisfy everybody else.
Yeah.
Keep your head down and do what you do, and the results will speak for itself.
Exactly.
Good point. Good point.
Up next, we have poll position. Speaking of fans and their opinions, we jump on our Facebook and we ask you topical questions about what's happening in the league. And so last week, Gavin Hunt came out. He said, you know, what's happening is ridiculous. One of these coaches called one of my players, basically accusing a PSL coach of poaching. And so we asked, who do you think he is talking about? And my, the results were pretty unanimous, I'll say.
It's got to be Pito Musimane. Yeah, that guy is capable of doing that. He's the only guy.
Pito Musimane.
Coach Pito Musimane.
I think it is Pito Musimane.
I think, as in I'm going to Pito Onke, but the way I'm going to Pito really talk too much. And say as you were very much on the
it's Pito Musimane.
Ah, obvious. So Pito, Pito, no, see, I'm a song. We enjoy fun about the ball. We destroy a very bad ball. We get my team in.
Unanimous the poll this time.
Jeez.
Everybody saying it's Pito. And a fun thing, actually, in the paper, they pointed out that the player in question would be Gift Motupa.
Ah. Interesting.
Apparently, Sundowns have been trying, so...
They didn't follow the protocol.
Apparently. But in Gavin's quote, he said there's no point reporting them to the PSL because obviously that would take forever for that charge to be dealt with. But what do you guys think of that? Coaches poaching players, is that something that you guys saw in the league?
I think it happens all the time. All the time. So I don't think this is a one-off. And I'm not saying anyone's guilty or innocent here, but this is certainly not a once-off thing.
Mm.
It happens all the time, without a doubt.
This is not new, man. We see this every season, like Sean has said. And sometimes it's good for a player because now that you know that, you know...
You wanted.
Yeah, you wanted, and Sean called me directly and then he tells me about this and that. But it's also disruptive to the team that he plays for because now the focus has changed now. Mm. Now you know... the extra 2 zeros that you're gonna get, you know, and then that you still have 2-year contract within your team, that disturbs a lot. I think there needs to be certain rules that needs to be followed, and if certain incidences happen like that, then I think they need to be reported, and that they need to be dealt with.
Because it's a super famous one. I mean, Liverpool were in for Van Dijk, weren't they?
Mm.
They were accused of tapping him up when he slid Southampton.
Yep, yeah. PSG a couple times.
Yeah,
have been guilty.
So it happens. It's not just the PSL.
It's not just the PSL.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got. This week in history, I think I've got some good ones over here. So, this week in 1985, 16-year-old defender Paolo Maldini made his first professional appearance. He came on in the second half for AC Milan and would go on to play another 901 matches for AC Milan, club legend. This week in 1919, Liverpool legend Bob Paisley was born. Under Paisley, Liverpool amassed 6 league titles, 3 European Cups, 1 UEFA Cup, 3 League Cups, 1 European Super Cup, and 1 Intercontinental Cup. So they once asked him about his run of success, and he replied, mind you, I've been here during the bad times too. 1 year we came second.
But why didn't you speak about Maldini's achievements?
Maldini, well, I mean...
No, speak about it. What did he want?
I mean, 3-time Champions League winner, I think.
So you don't know?
I mean, I didn't put it down, actually calling me out on Maldini.
Speaking about Bob Paisley, by the way,
respect to that name.
That's the 100-year Bob Paisley jersey. All of Liverpool's jerseys this season come with a little 100 years of Bob Paisley.
See?
Interesting. Yeah. Where? Yeah,
in the back of the neck. Turn around.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, that's why I did it, Deco, all right? You know, that's why I mentioned
stuff. Still, you must put respect to Mandini's name.
Bob?
He won everything, that guy.
And lastly, this week in 1995, the famous Cantona Kung Fu kick so he was sent off in the 48th minute.
Yeah.
He was sent off in the 48th minute, by the way, for kicking a Palace defender, Richard Shaw. While being escorted off the pitch, he jumps in and launches himself. By the way, the Palace supporter that he kicked, his name is Matthew Simmons, probably tells that story every week.
Every week.
So that is 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh my God.
Right?
I still remember it like it was yesterday.
I was 2, but I've seen the video.
Teko, you were 30, eh?
Teko's been the same age since.
No comment.
Exactly.
What is the wildest red card you guys witnessed while you were playing?
In the PSL?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think Kemet's one comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
The one that he got at Captain City while kicking the boy for Highlands Park. I think that was bizarre. Because normally we see red cards that are back tackles or whatever the case may be. But Kemet was so irritated and the way he reacted, it was like, wow, Kemet, are you capable of doing that?
I think such a chill dude.
Yeah.
I think mine is, did Gabuza get sent off for that?
The
shirts and that whole story he was doing.
No, he didn't.
He didn't get sent off.
Ah.
But because he walked off, he wouldn't be allowed to come on again. So they end up playing with one player less, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was weird.
Wow.
Yeah, Gabuza's thing, it was weird, dude. I think so we need to get him some time.
Yeah, that's definitely the weirdest thing I've seen. That. Not necessarily red card.
Yeah, it wasn't the red card. Also, like, it was very weird. Strange. Like, I was watching the game, I'm like, what is he doing? I'm like, get back on the field. What are you doing? That's Orlando Pirates, chief.
Yeah.
And then he kept on doing it, and he walked out. Even the players begged him to come back.
And he wasn't allowed to.
Exactly. And
I didn't know that as a rule, eh? If you leave the field, you can't come back.
Yeah, home. I mean, and then the next day he posted a video apologizing with the team behind him, and he never played a game.
Yeah.
For me,
the weirdest red card I saw, just because of how ridiculously violent it was. Do you remember the defender, the center back Pepe?
Yeah. Yes.
There was one time, like, a player, I think, fell, and so he was trying to kick the ball out, but like the player got in his way, and he just like, so the ball goes out. Fully out, and he just continues kicking the player.
Yeah, but Pepe is crazy, though.
Pepe was crazy. I think he also had the World Cup, like he kicked someone in the chest.
In the chest, he kicked. What did he kick? I think it's Alonso. Yeah, I kicked Alonso.
Yeah?
Yeah, Xavi Alonso kicked Alonso in the chest. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he's cray cray.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
He's cray cray.
There was a different era of defenders back then, like the violence in football that there used to be.
When it was it's good to watch, eh?
When it was like Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Gattuso?
Patrick Vieira, Roy Keane was dope.
Tony Adams.
Stats in the Tunnel.
Yeah.
Like, yo.
DSTV ran some like 30-minute documentary on just the Vieira versus Roy Keane rivalry.
Yeah.
And so they sat across each other. It's called Best of Enemies.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
Okay.
You should check it out. It's very
epic.
Interesting looking.
Nice one.
Speaking of legends.
Yes.
Mark Fish. Simon came up with this name. I think we should run with it. Memories from the Masters.
Oh, right? Simon!
You know what I'm saying?
Hey!
Okay, Simon.
I like it. Memories of the Masters.
Yeah, where we get legendary folk to tell us some funny stories from their footballing career. Mark Fish has an interesting one. I think he's referring to the 98 World Cup here.
We went to 40 in Ivory Coast, and actually myself and Tony Catano, we taught, I think, which is a fun memory of mine, we were, and I've got pictures of it, where we taught Linda Buthelezi how to swim.
Mm.
Forget football. I think we taught one of our teammates how to swim, gave him the confidence to go swim. Obviously, we kept a good eye on him because Linda, all balls in and all feet in and everything. That was a fun memory.
Taught him how to swim.
Wow.
Can you
it's
imagine?
Amazing how many players can't swim, though.
Yeah.
I remember when
I can't swim.
With the, can you not swim?
No, I can't swim.
We gotta teach Deco how to swim.
I swim to survive, not this headstroke, what, be fancy. No, I swim to survive.
I swim to survive.
Yeah.
Have you ever had
from here to there, leave me alone. Don't ask me to backstroke, what.
Have you ever had to swim to survive?
No.
Okay.
But I can swim to survive.
Sure.
That's it.
If we took it, would you swim in the waves? If we took it
for what? For what, dude? No.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Seko, but no, what, I swim what once when a you're year. On your luxury yacht there and you fall overboard? What then?
Yeah, I'll probably die. I'll probably die. No, that's why you'll never see me on boat. What?
Serious?
It's not my thing. No.
Okay, I'll take you off my birthday list.
That's why there's no guys. There's no great black swimmers. Nothing.
That's true. I mean, nothing. Even South African swimmers.
Water and us, we are not friends. We drink, we wash, that's it.
Yeah, we send the white boys to the Olympics. Yeah. Chad.
Chad. Yeah, that one, Chad. Stop for us.
That's too
we
funny.
We sprint.
Yeah.
Too funny.
We got some players abroad.
We do. Pretty lackluster this weekend, but Edson Kumalo, who plays for San Jonense in Portugal, scored in Sunday's 1-1 home draw against Gumbro. Lebohang Piri, Darren Keat, Kurt Abrahams, Kamohelo Mokocho,
yes,
and Bongani Zulu all started for their respective teams. Percy Tal and Keegan Dolly, surprisingly, not in their matchday squads, the same as Lebo Motiba.
Damn.
Yeah. So, very, very bizarre weekend for the boys.
So, slow week. Slow week.
Yeah,
maybe.
Not much happening apart from Edson Kumalo, who I'm not too sure who is, scored in 1-1 home draw against Gumbro.
Very nice.
Gumbro.
And then
I'm probably saying it completely wrong, but
and then I got a Thabo Nodada for my starter pack. My starter pack is where I ask PSL players about their first car, first house, all that sort of stuff. And we have an interesting clip from there that I think you guys will find funny.
My first professional coach.
My first coach was Mushin. He's the one that promoted me. I was scared of him, I'll be honest. Because he'd be on my back, eh? He'd be on my back. But funny enough, end of the week, I'm starting. I never used to understand it.
Mushin Itrgral. Itrgral.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in Cape Town, actually.
Scary man. I don't. Have you guys ever met this?
Oh, he was my coach for years at Ajax.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kicked me out of Ajax, didn't he?
Oh,
oh, yeah, sorry,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, but we have since made friends. Okay. All is cool by the pool.
You know, weirdly, is I've always wished that he could coach me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I liked his craziness and his drive because I felt like he was more into the game. He always wanted to win, and I always want to be coached by coaches that goes nuts when they don't win. And it was very interesting. I always wanted to play under him.
Interesting.
Even though we were gonna fight. No, seriously. Even though I knew that at some point we were gonna fight, but I just love coaches like that. Mm. Even Pete was like that. It's crazy. Even Gavin is like that. It's crazy. I want to win, Chief.
Mm.
Me, I want to win. I don't want to play around. Whether we're playing for bonuses or not, I just want to win because it gives you that good feeling.
And then so we've got some incoming games.
Yes, yeah, so I've chosen Arrows versus Chiefs and Pirates versus AmaZulu. Arrows at home against Chiefs. Arrows not an easy team to beat away from home.
Mm.
Chiefs obviously on a winning streak, top of the log by 7 points. What do you think, Tex? You going for a Chiefs win? It's a tough one.
It is, man. I mean, Arrows on 24 points and they want to consolidate that top 8 spot.
Mm-hmm.
And players being motivated by playing with KZ Chiefs, I think that'll play a part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll up their game. They're going to try and make it as difficult as possible for KZ Chiefs.
Mm. Coach facing his old team.
Yeah. And also, KZ Chiefs knowing for a fact that they have a chance to make it 10 points while Sundowns is not playing, you know.
Yep.
They need that comfort, you know, that cushion. And for them, you know, they've dropped points in Little Daduba. So they'll look at this game like a 6-pointer. But then again, if they have to go into this game with emotions, then they might even lose the game.
Mm.
You know, I think the pressure now, I think the Chiefs starting to feel the pressure now.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be very interesting to actually watch the game. But it will be dope if they win to make it 10 points, you know. And it will still be dope if they lose because now the league's also stay interesting.
Yeah.
Either way, I think the game will be very, very interesting to watch.
I'm going for a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for Arrows win.
Arrows win.
Interesting. Pirates and AmaZulu. Pirates at home. AmaZulu struggling big time. Pirates have found this rich vein of form. Oof. I'm going for a very convincing Pirates win.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah.
Pirates.
We agreed.
I mean, who's gonna score besides Ntuli? What if Ntuli has a stomach back a day before?
Too much.
Eh? Who's gonna score
exactly
there?
Something tells me Teko has money on this game.
it's really Gabadinho versus Bongi Ntuli, except Gabadinho has help.
He's all alone.
But also, if also with AmaZulu, if you look at the game they played against Maritzburg, you look at the mistake that a goalkeeper did, you know, against Maritzburg, and then now you're looking at how Orlando Pirates play with their diversity. You know, would he be still doing the same mistakes that he was when he was not under pressure whatsoever? So it'd be very, very interesting, because normally when he plays well, AmaZulu actually, you know, have a clean sheet and stuff like that. So it's very difficult for AmaZulu and for them to actually.
And he's been out for the past couple of months, hasn't he?
Exactly.
He's had youngster Boshoff and he's done well.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, this keeper does bring a sense of stability.
He brings that. So he needs to bring his A game on over the weekend for them to actually have an opportunity to cause an upset. But then you're playing against guys that are actually on form, that are happy, you know, they on this mission to try and win as many games as possible. So they.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be very, very difficult for AmaZulu, but I don't see them winning though.
So victory for Pirates, victory for Pirates.
Yes, sir.
And before we move on, I just want to point out last week, I got Simon. 4 out of 4, right?
You did.
No, Teko did.
Ah. Thank you.
Yep.
Let the black, black guy shine.
Sean got 3 out of 4, right? But that levels you guys up across all the shows. Ooh. You both have the same.
My man. We should get paid for this.
You should.
Yeah.
Who's going to win? I'm putting my money
on Teko. Should we cut it at the end of the season and we do it by season? So at the end of the season,
yeah.
I don't know, someone will get a prize.
Yeah.
We should
it's gonna be a Nando's decide. Meal or something, bro. Nando's.
We're still waiting for that Nando's meal.
Nando's feast. It has to be full pack.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Why are you getting involved in this?
No. I wanna decide the price.
That's why he's saying feast so they can get that.
You might need some help finishing all that, bro. Do we have a car of the week?
We have a car of the week. Our good friend, old Sibo Siso Vilakazi, has been seen at the latest range of a Golf 7 GTI.
Ooh.
Which is beautiful.
The original Verpa.
Which is beautiful. It's one of my favorite cars. I mean, I've always had a GTI growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped at the Golf 5. I haven't been privileged enough to have a Golf 7. Coming in at a whopping 550,000 rand.
Whew.
But yeah, I think it's sort of the go-to footballer's car, hey? If you see a footballer around, it's mostly in like a GTI, and it's beautiful, reliable, it's does its thing.
Yeah,
definitely, definitely.
Most definitely.
Oh, now my least favorite part of the show. Oh, here we go.
Hallelujah.
The joke of the day.
Oh, Lord.
Are you ready?
Brace yourselves.
We should actually have like a little bit of jingles.
A jingle, jingle.
Yeah.
I think Simon will do it.
Because it might go anyway, either way. Fart,
are we ready? Why was it so hot after the football game? Because all the fans left.
Oh. No.
If I get a laugh out of Teko, I know it's good.
Because all the
Jesus! Fans. Help us!
No.
Help me!
I think that's probably the second best one.
Not bad, eh?
It's not bad, but it's...
Thank you.
Not amazing.
It's thank bad.
And then the motivational quote of the day. We have had George Lebesio on before, but he has said, can you weather the storm until the sun shines again? And I think this is very cool for him. As we know, he signed to go play in the States. He's weathered the storm. The sun will shine again. Good luck, Georgie boy. We're here with you.
Yeah, good luck.
That concludes our beautiful podcast number 11.
Number 11. It's been a pleasure. As always, gents. The legends, Deco and Sean.
Are we?
Myself, the biggest legend, obviously.
Supaho. Simple Simon.
Simple Simon and Aiden behind the camera. Y'all don't know Aiden. Aiden is the substitute teacher coming through. You know what I mean?
Through the ranks.
You'll get to know him very soon when Simon goes off to have a baba.
To have a baba.
But until next time.
Yep.
We'll see you guys and have a good afternoon. Hit that.
Hit that.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.